Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
Hey, hey, how's it going? Everybody's feeling perky today? Kind of perky, a little bit? This will help you feel super perky, my jokes. Here we go. You need to pre-groan. Right. Okay. What do you call a magician who loses his magic? Ian. A magician who loses his magic. What's left? Ian. Seriously. You need to I told you pre-groan. It's like really. And there's a strategy on this. If I start really bad, there's only one way to go, right? We all know that. So if you're watching online, seriously, you can totally groan or puke. That would be very appropriate. And we're going to continue a series that I've been working on. Happy birthday, Peggy. I know I'm a little late, but really glad to celebrate with you. And I'm doing this series called Conversations with Jesus. And I really like this series because I think it relates to like all of us at various time seasons in our lives. And so in this series, I've kind of grouped these conversations with Jesus into like four groups of people. First group is what I call the renegade group. Those are the people who don't run everything super clean and pristine. They're kind of the rebels, the ones that are trying to, you know, get away with everything, doing it all wrong, sinners, whatever you want to call them, rebels, renegades. The second group would be what I call the reverent. That's a euphemism for religious. The ones who dot the I's, cross C's, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, all those guys that are really running everything super pristine, super high octane, perfect, aiming in that direction. And then we have a group called the receivers. Those are people who get something from Jesus. So like the receivers, the woman at the well that Jesus talked with, hey, you know, where's your husband? And she was a receiver. She was also kind of a renegade too. But the receivers multiplied bread and fish, you know, the woman that had the son raised from the dead, widow of Nain, all that. So receivers. And then finally, the last group is what I call relators. Relators are the ones who are Jesus' closest followers, like his disciples. So in those four groups of people, when we think about this, I want us to think and consider for a second. I know I'm skipping out. Sorry, Tyler. I think it's like my energy or something, electricity, maybe something. I don't know. I'll quit messing with the mic. It's all my fault. But here's what I want us to think about. When we think about a relator or relationships, a relationship is only, and I think this is really important for us to think about this, a relationship is only as deep as the person who wants it the least. Think about that for a second, right? How many of you ever thought, ooh, I really like that person. I'd like to be close to them. I want to have a nice friendship with them. But they didn't seem to want that. Anybody ever been in that situation? And just because you want it doesn't mean that's going to happen. And I bet you it's happened on the other side for you as well, that maybe somebody's wanted to be a really close friend with you and you're like, woof, we're not doing that. arms distance, right? Anybody ever, you don't have to admit that one. But I want us to think about it in terms of relators and relationship as it goes with Jesus. Because at the end of the day, I think we should consider what kind of relationship does Jesus want with us? Because I would propose to you that Jesus came, walked, did the whole skin thing, born of Virgin Mary, grew up, you know, walked the earth, did, you know, was hungry, struggled, did humanity, healed people, was brutally crucified, rose from the dead. I would propose to you that he did all of that because he wants a deeply personal relationship with each one of us. And so the question that we should consider asking ourselves is, what do I want with Jesus? Now, we're in church. You might be watching online, but You know, we automatically, it's Sunday, and it's the right thing to say, yeah, of course I want a deep, intimate, close relationship with Jesus. And I'm there. I get it. I'm on board for that. But I don't think that sometimes we're always on Jesus' page. Sometimes I find myself in renegade rebel mode, and I'm like, hey, do that forgiveness thing, and let's keep going. Sometimes I find myself in receiver mode. I want the handout. Let's go. And I got to move on with the next thing in my life. Sometimes I'm in the reverent religious mode, and Jesus is kind of on the backdrop. But ultimately, Jesus' end game for each of us is to have a deeply personal, intimate relationship with him. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He didn't die to be the sugar daddy, right? To be the consumer solution, your personal Visa card. He didn't only die just to do all that forgiveness and make everything smoothie groovy if we've been kind of in rebel mode. And Jesus didn't die on the cross a brutal death to rubber stamp our religious endeavors. Jesus died on the cross, went through everything he went through for a personal connection relationship with each one of us. That's his end game. And so if that's Jesus' end game, then the invitation for us is to get on his page, right? I mean, that's fantastic. I'm all on board. Okay, you want to be with me? You like hanging out with me? You think I'm cool? You laugh at my jokes? Well, let's hang out, because not many people laugh at the jokes, understandably. But here's the thing. I think when we're thinking about the relator and being in a close relationship with Jesus, I think we have to consider that we all start somewhere. We all start as a renegade, as a rebel, as a reverent, as a receiver. I would venture to say that every single one here and online, we have all potentially started off with Jesus or in some way, shape, fashion, form, been a receiver with Jesus. Has anybody in the room ever received anything from Jesus? Like the whole, right? I mean, at the minimum, we receive life, we receive breath, we receive finances, we receive favor, we receive wisdom, we receive strength, we receive healing. I mean, you know, how many of you, I'm hitting some of your buttons, right? So hopefully somewhere in the room. So we've all been in this situation, in this category. But I want us to consider that a receiver is really on the journey to becoming a relator. And we're not only here to get, and then keep getting and get some more and get. And that's part of the journey for sure. And I think you'll see in this discussion today, we're going to look at one person from the Bible that made this kind of journey from being a receiver and the journey to becoming a relator. And I'm going to share that journey with you because I want all of us in the room, I want all of us online to think about that journey for ourselves. Because that's the end game. Jesus' end game is, hey, I want to have a deep, growing, personal intimacy connection with you. That's Jesus' end game. So with that in mind, I want you to think about Peter. Peter starts off and he is a receiver. I say this because if you look in John chapter 1, the first person to introduce Peter to Jesus is his brother, Andrew. And Andrew was one of the disciples for John the Baptist. John the Baptist sees Jesus at one point and says, hey, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. When John the Baptist says that, it says that two of John's disciples turned and started to follow Jesus. One of those disciples was Andrew, who happened to be Peter, Simon Peter's brother. I like this because Andrew, once he starts following Jesus, he gets super amped and he goes and finds his brother, Peter, Simon Peter. And he says, dude, we found the Messiah. And I appreciate that Andrew is the connector for Peter with Jesus. And I like that because I think it's an invitation for all of us to be connectors, right? We got people in our lives that it would be helpful that they could connect with Jesus. So Andrew does that for Peter. But I want you to flip over as well to Luke chapter 5, because we get this sense that Peter kind of follows Jesus. But in Luke chapter 5, we see this really intense conversation between Peter and Jesus. And in this chapter, verses like 1 through 11, you see that Peter, his three fishing partners, Peter, James, John, Andrew, they were all fishing, and they had been fishing all night. They were on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, cleaning their nets, disappointed because they hadn't caught anything. And while they're there hanging out, this dude comes up with this massive crowd, and the dude says to Peter, "Hey, can I borrow your boat for a little minute? I just want to set out and kind of get some space from the crowd so I can talk to them and not get pushed into the sea." Peter's like, "Yeah, do whatever you want to do." So he loans him his boat. Jesus does this big sermon thing. The crowd is massive, you know, all this stuff. And at the end of Jesus' sermon, he says to Peter, "Hey, put your boat out. You're going to get a big catch of fish." Peter's like, "Dude, are you kidding me? We fished all night. We didn't catch anything. We're tired. We're exhausted." And it's disappointing, right? I mean, if this is your income and you didn't get anything for all of your sweat equity, how many of you know that's disappointing? Ugh. Like, why work then? You just find someone. And Peter's like, "Okay, fine, but at your word, we'll do it." So they put their boats out into the Sea of Galilee, and they get this massive catch of fish. It is so massive that they hail their partners and say, "Hey, get your boat out here." So they got two boats that are out there. It says the boats began to sink, and the nets began to break because there were so many fish. And this is what Peter's response is, which I think is really bizarre. Peter, after getting the boat catch of his life, of all this amazing, huge quantity of fish, he comes and falls at Jesus' feet, and he says to him, "Away from me." I don't get that. This guy just gave you probably the biggest haul of money in your entire fishing career, and you're telling him to get away? How many of you think that's a little weird? Anybody think that's weird? I think that's super weird, Denise. I'm like, "What are you smoking?" This is Colorado. "Get away from me." And he says, "I am a sinful man." I think there was this sense in his heart that he wasn't worthy. "I'm sinful." But nevertheless, he started off with Jesus as a receiver. And I like that, because I think that's true for every single one of us. We can all start as receivers. But when Peter says, "Away from me, I'm a sinful man," I like that Jesus isn't like, "You little jerk, ungrateful little whelp. What do you think you're doing? You should at least at the minimum say thank you." Jesus doesn't do that. Again, it's conversations. And when we start talking with Jesus, even in receiver mode, and we might say really stupid things, right? Like talk out of your butt and you're like, "Whoa, you shouldn't have said that." I get it. But Jesus doesn't get repelled and grossed out and like, "Ugh, you know, you're the one sin." Jesus doesn't do that. He says, "Hey, follow me and I will make you fishers of men." What Jesus invites us to is a relationship with him that facilitates the greatest fulfillment, design, inner workings in your soul, how you are made. Jesus invites us as we move in this journey to explore, to discover who Jesus has made us to be. Not just go through the motions of getting more stuff, more miracles, but discovering the divine design that God has put in us. So it's a great starting point, but family, the invitation is to keep walking. Let's keep going. Because when Peter decided to drop the nets and follow Jesus, he began a fantastic adventure. And I propose to you that this adventure was filled with all kinds of glory, as well as all kinds of gory. There was glory in following Jesus, as well as gory in terms of Peter. not doing it super, super great. And when you walk with Jesus, your walk with Jesus will have glory as well as gory. You're going to have peaks and you're going to have valleys. But part of that is the journey that we are on, getting in a deeper and deeper relationship with Jesus. So what's some of the glory and the gory for Peter? Well, let's think about some glory. One of the first ones I think is really great is when Peter, there was this giant storm on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus wasn't with him, and the disciples are nervous and scary. They see, literally, it's in the Greek, it's this word phantom, fantasy. And it's like the idea of a ghost. They see Jesus walking on the water. They think it's like a ghost or a phantom. And I like what Peter does. And again, I think this is glory. Because he says to Jesus, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And Peter knew, if it's a ghost, the ghost isn't going to tell me to come. But if it's Jesus, Jesus' end game is always to get me closer to him. He's always going to say, come. He's never going to push me away and repel me and say, you know, you're kind of being a weird whack job right here, kind of freaked out. Get yourself together before we keep moving. Peter knew, if it's really genuine Jesus, Jesus always says, let's go. And it doesn't matter if there's a storm. It doesn't matter that it's water. Like, where are we going to go? Walk. Peter gets out of the boat. Jesus says, come on, let's go. He gets out of the boat and he walks on the water. I think in my mind, that's pretty glorious. You're like, yeah, but he got distracted by the wind and the wave. Well, me too. Right? I would. I'd be a little bit nervous about that, you know, kind of winds whipping up and waves and rain. But he walks on the water. Nobody else got out of the boat. I think that's pretty glorious. How many of you would agree? That's glorious. Another glorious thing with Peter. Jesus invites Peter, James, and John. They go up on this mountaintop. Peter, James, and John get kind of tired, so they're falling asleep, taking a nap. And when they wake up, Jesus is all doing the shiny thing, right? He's like the shining. Just kidding. That was a movie. Right, I know, Tony got it. It's a long time ago. Anyways, he's really shiny. He's doing that transfiguration. He's glowing. And he's talking with Moses, and he's talking with Elijah. Peter, James, and John, they're like, oh my God. And Peter, Peter in all of his glory, I mean, this is a very glorious experience. And Peter's like, oh, we need to make a little temple, tent. We need to set up little things here to honor, you know, Elijah and Moses and Jesus. This is the most amazing. He's going on, and suddenly he gets interrupted from this booming voice from heaven. Peter! No, he doesn't say Peter. But he says, this
is my beloved son. In whom I am well pleased.
So there's a booming voice, right? And then the booming voice, who happens to be God the Father, says, listen to him. Translation, stop talking, start listening. I think that's a fantastic tutoring experience, kind of glorious, and calibrating as we learn that sometimes our journey with God from receiver to relator is also a journey of sometimes not only just talking all the time, but also listening. Because that's what it means in terms of conversation. You can't have a conversation if it's a monologue, if one person's doing all the talking. In this journey, Jesus invites us to go back and forth, to dialogue, to converse. And when you're having those glorious experiences, fantastic. But there's also going to be some gory, like bottom valley experiences as well. And you see that with Peter. He did the peaks, but now here's some valleys in his walk and in his journey. Here's one of them that I think is really astounding. At one point, Jesus says to Peter, says to all of his disciples, we're going to Jerusalem, and all the religious leaders there are going to be really, you know, screwed into the roof, ticked off, and they're going to kill me. And Peter steps in and says, oh, no, they're not going to kill you. I'm going to prevent them from killing you. And you know what Jesus replies to him? Again, this is the bottom. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. That's pretty bad. If Jesus calls you Satan, you've kind of hit a bottom. It's subtle, but let me give you the clues. That's bad. And sometimes we say things off the top of our head, or we do things, and it's like, whoo, come on, come on. Let's level up a little bit. We can, yeah, I know you're there and you kind of messed up, but let's kind of level up. We can move and make some forward progress. Another gory example with Peter, and I find this really fascinating because remember, he starts off as a fisherman, and they do that big catch a fish, drop the nets, follow Jesus, fishermen. So he's doing the undulating, gory and glory, gory and glory, gory and glory. And this has been about 2 years, a little over 2 years up to this point. And now they're at the Last Supper. And they've been walking with Jesus. Peter's been walking with Jesus 24/7. So he knows Jesus, like, pretty well. And he's one of Jesus' closest friends. And at the Last Supper, Jesus says to all of his disciples, hey, y'all are going to walk away from me tonight. Y'all are going to betray me. And Peter says, oh, no, I'm not going to betray you. Well, I find that really fascinating. He's arguing with Jesus. How does that play out? Like, I just think, you know, Jesus has been right pretty much all this journey. Why do you think suddenly, after 2+ years, Jesus is going to be wrong and you're going to be right? That's a level of low. That's really low. And then Jesus says to him, yeah, not only are y'all going to betray me, but Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. Oh, no, I will never deny you over my dead body. And sure enough, Peter does it. Peter denies Jesus 3 times. And I appreciate that in this journey with Jesus, we're going to have glory and we're going to have gory. But the whole point of this is that we're making a progression. We're moving closer. We're moving deeper. We're getting more connected. We're having a more deep relationship with Jesus. The whole end game here is to be a relator, not just a receiver. And I'll say for sure, they're not mutually exclusive. Because a lot of times in this journey, ups and downs, Peter still participates. Peter still received multiplied fish and bread. Peter received and saw miracles. He was in part. So it's an integral part of the journey. But family, the end game is being in relationship and intimacy and connection and not just letting Jesus be a sugar daddy. Right? There's more. There's more. So when we think about being a relator, how would we know, what would it look like if we had to figure out Peter making that transition to being a relator? We see him on that gory and glory road, but what does it look like if, when Peter has transitioned into being a relator? I would invite you to flip over to John chapter 21, because I think this is the perfect example of Peter in this transition and really validating Peter as a relator. So in John 21, Jesus had been crucified, rose from the dead, and there's all kinds of upheaval going on in Jerusalem. I mean, the religious leaders are amped up because Jesus rose from the dead. The Roman leaders are like, woo, something's not right here. The city's already very tumultuous. So Peter, James, and Peter and 5 disciples, they decide to leave Jerusalem and go back to fishing. And I don't blame them. I don't fault them for that. Because if I was in their shoes, sandals, I would be pretty nervous. I'd be like, hey, I know that Pontius Pilate doesn't think we're such great people following Jesus. Those chief priests and the religious leaders, they want to torture all of us. And we've just been disappointed. We put all of our eggs in this Jesus basket. And now, who knows where he is? He rose from the dead? You know, we thought he was going to be like, who, this political, what, you know. So I think that them going back to fishing was kind of like a catch their breath. Like, let's go back and have some things that are familiar and common and stable, known quantities. How many of you can see that kind of transition? So they go back to fishing, and they're doing their fishing thing because this is their profession. It's familiar. It's like they could do it in their sleep, practically, because they do it at night. Anyways, so they're fishing, and they don't catch anything. And there's a dude on the shore, and he's got a fire going, and he yells out, "Hey, did y'all catch anything?" And they're like, "No, we didn't catch anything." Did that ever happen to Peter before that we know of? Right, that happened in Luke 5, in this whole starting point for all of it, right? That's when they didn't catch any fish the first time. And now it's like deja vu. Pete and Repeat sitting on the fence. Pete fell off. Who's left? Repeat. They're doing it again. So the guy on the shore says, "Well, throw your nets on the other side." And they do. And guess what? Massive catch of fish. Pa-ching! Like the lights go on. Light bulb. And they suddenly, John, the one whom Jesus loves, says to Peter, "It's the Lord." And I appreciate the first time when they had that massive catch of fish, what was Peter's first response, first reply to Jesus? Come on, family. Get away. I'm sinful. Leave me. But in this second time, you know what Peter does? He puts on his clothes. Don't ask details. He throws himself into the sea and he swims to Jesus. The first time he says, "Get away from me." And this time you can't keep Peter away from Jesus. Come on, family. That's what it means when we move in this progression, when we move in this dynamic, and when we start getting on Jesus' page, that no matter what happens, no matter what I've done, I have denied Jesus. I fell asleep on him in the Garden of Gethsemane when he told me to keep him company. All of my failures, all of the gore, all of that stuff, it still doesn't keep me away from Jesus because I know he wants to be with me. I know he likes me. He enjoys my company. And he died and rose from the dead so I could have a deep relationship and not keep him at a distance. This is what happens if we just live in receiver mode. We never make this transition, never move into becoming a relator and going all in, no holds barred, all both feet, swimming in the morning, totally cold, freezing, but just to get in front of Jesus. That's the transition. That's the move. But here's where we see it really, really get rich, is in the conversation between Jesus and Peter. When Peter lands and they bring all the boats and the fish, they give Jesus some more fish, put on the fire. They're eating breakfast. And I love this conversation. This conversation melts me every time. Just, it works me into my toenails. I'm like, because Jesus initiates the conversation with Peter. And he says to Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me, Peter?" If you're in Peter's shoes, how do you answer that, right? I mean, here's this guy who laid down his life for me, and he's back. We started there. And I love when Jesus asked Peter the first time, "Do you love me?" And he says, "Do you love me more than these?" I think, more than these. Do you love me more than the fish? I hope so. Do you love me more than the provision? Do you love me more than just being a receiver? It's an interesting question for all of us to think about. Jesus saying, "Do you love me more than these?" Maybe it's the other followers. Maybe it's those other guys that were also fishing with Peter. "Peter, do you love me even more than you love all those guys? Do you love me? Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep." Jesus asks him again, "Do you love me? Lord, I love you. Take care of my lambs." A third time. Some theologians say Jesus asked three times because Peter denied three times. I don't know. All I know is that the end game for being a relator is all about genuine love. That's the end game. It's not only about getting miracles. It's not only about being righteous and reverent. It's not only about being a rebel and continual forgiveness. It's about being connected with genuine love. And I would say in this situation, over here, Peter repelled Jesus, and now Peter gets himself, postures himself, does everything he can to get himself in front of genuine love. Because it tells us, 1 John, God is love, Jesus is God, so Jesus is love. So getting ourselves in front of genuine love, posturing us in front of genuine love, is one of the key things to becoming and being, staying a relator. You know, Jesus, his end game, I said at the beginning, his end game is to have a deep personal relationship with us for the simple reason that Jesus loves us. And how do you get your head around that? You don't. The only way that you can really kind of think and work in that is in relationship and intimacy. It's not a cerebral exercise. It's not a religious exercise. It's a relationship development. And so as we think about this journey, receiving, glory, gory, relating, and getting in front of genuine love, I would say there's a couple things that will help us on this journey. The first thing I would say is drop the nets. Drop the nets. For Peter to begin this journey and to begin walking in the design, the destiny that Jesus had for him, he had to drop the nets. He had to leave some things. He had to leave the security. He had to leave his profession. He had to leave, and I'm not telling you leave your job. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that a lot of times there are things we trust in. We trust in our job. We trust in, I don't know, politics. That doesn't make any sense to me. But there are things that we hold on to. Things from the past that we have held on to. Unforgiveness stuff. There are things, family, that we cannot continue, we can't make forward progress if we don't let go of some things. Let go of some identities. Let go of some stuff, some shame, some of the guilt. We've got to let go of some stuff. And the second thing I'd say on this journey is that we keep walking. Keep walking with Jesus. Right? Gory and glory. But just keep walking. Anybody ever watch VeggieTales? Elizabeth? Remember? Keep walking, but you won't knock down. If you can, but you won't knock down our wall. Keep walking, but she isn't going to fall. It's plain to see. Your brains are very small to think walking will be knocking down our wall. It's the Jericho thing. The giant peas, right? Remember that? Right, Anna? Do you kind of remember this? I know you're laughing. I think it's really great. But keep walking. You're going to hit some bottoms and you're going to hit some peaks, but just keep walking. It's okay. Just keep going. Keep saying, Jesus, my goal is to be on your page, to be close to you, to be intimate with you, to be connected with you, to be in deep relationship with you. I'm just going to keep walking. Yep, had some circuitous routes, got lost in the wilderness, took a wrong turn, did some sightseeing along the way, so keep walking. Keep walking. And the last thing I'd say, number three, is let genuine love grow in your heart as you walk more closely with Jesus. The end game for Jesus is genuine love because Jesus is love. It's not necessarily how religious we are, how upstanding, circumspect, how rebellious we are, do our own thing, not how much we get, the consumer mindset, but rather posturing and positioning ourselves in front of genuine love. And for myself, I find this to be so helpful because honestly, I struggle. I struggle to love people. Some people are easy to love, right? But some people, not so much. I mean, there's a person I play pickleball with, and I try to avoid this person like the plague, because I really, and every time I get around this person, we're not going to say a male or female, I hear this in my head, hey, Sarah, let's be loving. I'm like, yeah, you be loving. Nobody in the room struggles with that, just me. But what I find is, I do find this. I find that when I get myself in front of Jesus and I just unzip my heart and I'm authentic, raw, and vulnerable. All right, here's where I'm at. This is the situation. This is the person. This is Jesus. But, you know, I just, and I'm Jesus, I'm here. And I find that when I posture, position myself in front of genuine love, then I find Jesus loving me, loving the hell out of me in many respects. And when I find that genuine love and the overflow of that, the abundance, that's the thing I find so astounding with genuine love. It's infinite. It's infinite. Then that person, the pickleball person, it's like, whew, and I just say, okay, let's get some Jesus. I'm ready. Okay, here we go. And it helps. I don't get it all right, but better than if I don't posture myself in front of Jesus, because otherwise that person's going down. But let's posture ourselves in front of Jesus, in front of genuine love. Because the end game is deep intimacy with Jesus. That's the end game. So I'd like you to close your eyes and to bow your heads today. And I'd like to ask you to think about what might be something that you need to let go of. Peter dropped the nets. What might be your net? Is it an insecurity? Is it an arrogance? Is it independence? Is it fear? What is your net? What do you hold on to that you need to let go of? To hold on to Jesus, to walk more closely with Jesus. How many of you say, I know what that is, Sarah, on a personal level? I'm not going to ask you to shout it out. But if you know what you need to let go of, sometimes you got to let go of a person. Sometimes you got to let go of a memory. Sometimes you have to let go of your own strength. I can make it happen. I can do it. How many of you can identify something you need to let go of? Then I just ask you, those of you keep your hands up online as well, I want to pray for you. Father, we're raising our hands because we have things. We see things. You have identified, Holy Spirit, in us, things that we need to let go of. We give these to you now. We give these to you now and lay them at your feet. We let go. And we surrender so that we can hold on to you, to let you be our all in all, to have that intimacy, the connection and love with you. We release these things now and welcome greater connection, intimacy with you. I also want to pray for everyone in the room, everyone online. I'm just going to ask you to put with your palms up, palms facing the ceiling, just put your palms on your knees or by your knees, whatever. And I'm going to ask the love of God to overflow you, to overflow your hearts, and to help you in this walk, to help you go from glory to glory and grace to grace for all of the gore. So I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here with your presence, with your power, with the love, the genuine love, infinite love. And I pray Romans 5:5, that you would pour into our hearts, into our souls, into our lives, genuine love. I pray that that love would so fully saturate us, would so fully fill us, that the overflow is natural and automatic. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your love pouring into us and overflowing and helping us not only to love ourselves, but to love the people around us. I pray for each of us in this journey. I pray that you would help us to keep walking. For those of us who have gotten discouraged, for those of us who have gotten distracted, for those of us who've been disappointed, I pray that you would give us strength and grace to keep walking, to keep connecting, to show up, to be present with you, Jesus, no matter what. I thank you for helping us to keep walking with you each day. Each day, no matter what happens or doesn't happen, we keep walking with you to know you more and more, deeper and deeper. Thank you for helping us with this today, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.